Hi there.
Let's see how I can go with this. Today I want to talk to you about love. Love is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. That feeling is shown by humans in many ways, be it love for someone else, love of food, the list goes on. Love I want to share with you is the love and compassion towards others around you. Love seems to have been put to the side of our modern culture as we move forward, caring more about what's in front of us and ahead of us than helping those around us, showing compassion to others. The simple act of holding a door open or helping to carry something could shape the rest of that person's day. Compassion has that power, the power to show people how Jesus works in a Christian's life. Paul teaches us about the extensions of love in these scriptures, saying that you can have all the power and doing the most good in the world, but without love, none of it matters. Love is the virtues of God condensed into one pure emotion that is easily understandable to Christians. Many things can stop us from remembering this common love towards others, and even deep affections to those we hold most dear. Our hearts can grow cold and harden. We can lose sight of the amazing wonders of God's world. This can happen even to Christians who become numb and forget what our ministry means, doing what they feel is right without knowing why it's good. I heard a story about how it's very human to begin looking for something and then forget what you're looking for. Tennessee Williams tells the story of someone who forgot, the story of Jacob Brodsky, a shy Russian Jew whose father owned a bookstore. The older Brodsky wanted his son to go to college. The boy, on the other hand, desired nothing but to marry Leela, his childhood sweetheart. A French girl, as effusive, vital, and ambitious as he was contemplated and retiring. A couple of months after young Brodsky went to college, his father fell ill and died. The son returned home, buried his father, and married his love. Then the couple moved into the apartment above the bookstore, and Brodsky took over its management. The life of books fit him perfectly, but it cramped her. She wanted more adventure, and she found it, she thought, when she met an agent who praised her beautiful singing voice and enticed her to tour Europe with a vaudeville company. Brodsky was devastated. At their parting, he reached into his pocket and handed her the key to the front door of the bookstore. "You'd better keep this," he told her, "because you will want it someday. Your love is not so much less than mine that you can get away from it. You will come back sometime, and I will be waiting." She kissed him and left. To escape the pain he felt, Brodsky withdrew deep into his bookstore and took to reading as someone else might have taken a drink. He spoke little, did little, and could most times be found at the large desk near the rear of the shop, immersed in his books, while he waited for his love to return. Nearly 15 years after they parted, at Christmas time, she did return. But when Brodsky rose from his reading desk that had been his place of escape all that time, he did not take the love of his life for more than an ordinary customer. "Do you want a book?" he asked. That he didn't recognize her startled her, but she gained possession of herself and replied, "I want a book, but I've forgotten the name of it." Then she told him a story of childhood sweethearts, a story of a newly married couple who lived in an apartment above a bookstore, a story of a young, ambitious wife who left to seek a career who enjoyed great success, but she could never relinquish the key her husband gave her when they parted. She told him the story she thought would bring him to himself, but his face showed no recognition. Gradually, she realized that he had lost touch with his heart's desire, that he no longer knew the purpose of his waiting and grieving, that now all he remembered was the waiting and grieving itself. You remember it, you must remember it, the story of Leela and Jacob. After a long, bewildering pause, he said, "There is something familiar about the story. I think I have read it somewhere. It comes to me as something by Tolstoy. Dropping the key, she fled the shop, and Brodsky returned to his desk, to his reading, unaware that the love he had waited for had come and gone. Tennessee Williams' 1931 story, Something by Tolstoy, reminds me how easy it is to miss love when it comes. Either someone so distracts us, or we have completely lost who we are and what we care about, and we cannot recognize our heart's desires. By becoming numb to God's promises, you can let those who need to hear the word slip by us and not even notice it. How many people do you think have let gone? How many people do you think have let gone just by thinking of your duties as a Christian to be easy or shown to you? We may even turn away from people who deliberately need the grace we know, seeing them as not the right calling or not my responsibility to talk to this person. This loss of sense towards the amazing power that God has given us to traverse any obstacle and succeed in His name resonates deep in the passages of Paul, telling us that without this comfort to the weak and lost, we are missing the whole point of being God's messenger. Love, by showing this comfort and compassion to those we think the least of, they can become the absolute best that we were hoping to be called to do. Who knows God's will? Our minds cannot fathom the intricate workings of such a celestial power. Armed with this information, we Christians can become the light to those in need, showing them the light that saved us from complete annihilation. Also allowing them to carry this light throughout their lives. How amazing would it be to see the glories of heaven completely full of people rejoicing about the powers of God. Love is the fuel that makes our spiritual gifts useful in this ministry. This is why Paul explains to us that even by doing everything in our power to change the world, without love, none of it matters. None of it functions as it should. It can feel empty and hollow without love working behind the scenes to make our actions come alive and shine with love that Jesus paid for to have unlimited amounts of. This power of God can be hard for us to show sometimes. It's not easy to sacrifice everything we have for someone who looks to us that could be wasted. This hesitation of using our love for others weakens the actual effect of love as a whole. We keep it locked up and squandered it by letting it say, hide under a bushel. How does the song go? Hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine. That's what we need to do. Even if it is difficult to show that love, we need to let it shine complete and full broad for everyone to see, giving everything over to God and just letting go of the hesitation. The ultimate gesture of love that a Christian has obtained is God loving this wretched species so much that he sent Jesus to die a painful human death so that he can keep us close to him. John 3:16 and 17 talks about this act of love, saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Through this love, this complete energy that God has given us, the power of the love we can show is limitless. So how can you use this limitless energy in your life? Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you for letting this all come together. Thank you for the wonderful congregation and the message that we've had today. Please let people take this message into their hearts and take it out into the world to show the love that we have lost. Amen.